You are listening to Let's Talk Tribe, the official Let's Go Tribe podcast.
Swung and lined to deep left field. It is gone!
Hello and welcome to the Discussing Baseball podcast. I'm Quincy Wheeler and I'm here with Nicole. Nicole, how are you?
I'm good, Quincy. How are you doing?
Good. Today is the day on Twitter. I haven't quite got the post up on Covering the Corner, but on Twitter that I let everybody know that Nicole's going to be writing for coveringthecorner.com. So I know most of our listeners are familiar with the website that we use to kind of write and analyze Guardians baseball. So Nicole is joining us as a writer. Very glad to have her come on. And I wondered if you would tell folks about how you became a Guardians fan, Nicole.
So I know we've talked about it a little bit, but I'm actually a relatively new Guardians fan, especially considering, you know, compared to a lot of my friends I've made, you know, you especially. I became a Guardians fan when I started dating my now husband. So my first like real game was back in 2019. So I'm a very new Guardians fan, but
we love it.
Over the lockdown with COVID, I got hyper fixated on stats. I learned what stats were and like did a deep dive into the Naylor family, and it's kind of just gone from there.
Yeah, that's great. Yep. Looking forward to Nicole doing deep dives and exploring the statistical world and sharing her own perspective on it with us. That's great. I mean, I love it when I hear people that became fans recently. I talked to somebody who I think, recently the person I talked to was talking about how they were a fan of another team and then kind of switched. And that was a difference. That was an interesting story to hear too. So anyway, yeah, that's great. Bring some new perspective, and I like that. Today, Nicole and I are going to talk about our hot takes for the 2024 Guardians. So hot takes, bold predictions, however you want to slice it. So here's my general question for you. Are your hot takes, bold predictions, without spoiling them, are they all positive or some positive, some negative? What are your thoughts on that?
They're all positive. I have a hard time being negative on like hot takes. On the fun stuff, it's hard to be negative.
It's opening day. We should be positive. Okay. Well, I think I'm going to do three positive and I'll have one negative, so that in all of our eight hot takes, we're going to have one negative one. Maybe I'll put it like in the middle so we can finish them. Okay. All right. So, Nicole, start us off. Tell me your first hot take for the 2024 Cleveland Guardians.
Anyone who knows me, going to be no surprise who my first hot take is about. One, William D. Brennan. 20 home runs.
20 home runs for William.
Specifically, 18 of them are going to be at home.
Oh, nice. Nice. Well, I see, this is the thing. It's within the realm of possibility. If you said Will Brennan 30 home runs, I would say that we're living in fantasy land. Like,
there's some logic to it. So he had 5 true home runs last year.
Uh-huh.
And if you watch his highlights, his offensive highlights from last year, there were 5 hits that were almost home runs. They were just like, the launch angle was like 1 degree off, or it was just like 1 foot away from being a home run. So in my logic, the new improved batting stance and the more muscle mass means more power. Yeah. So he's going to double. And so if he had 5 almost home runs and 5 true home runs, girl math, it's 20 home runs.
I like that. I like that. I mean, of course, I will acknowledge that people may say, oh, hey, look at what he did in AAA in 2022, which was a very good season for him. But in 433 at-bats, he had 9 home runs. And, you know, so that doesn't quite get him up to 20. But
he had 9 pounds less muscle mass, too.
Right. And, yes, he has gotten older and bigger. And also, I think I would say, too, I noticed today that people were talking about how certain hits that were hit at the same speed at this time last year are going further. So maybe the ball will be a little juiced and that could help us all out with these kind of predictions. So a good year for William Brennan. That sounds good. I suspect he's going to be highly utilized against right-handed pitching, which I think should help. Maybe he'll earn himself some at-bats against left-handed pitching, but that may also limit his opportunities. But hey, I think it's realistic and I would love to see it. You know, here's an interesting thing about it. If that happens, I don't think we'll see Chase DeLauder till September.
More on that later.
Okay. We'll see if you're, because all of your takes are positive. So, but then again, Chase DeLauder, they could fit him in the lineup with Brennan. Come to think of it. All right. Here's, I'll give you one. And I've had this for a little while. I'm trying to think how to say this. David Fry is going to be seen by everyone as somebody they want in the starting lineup. And I don't know if that's hot take enough. I should probably say something. David Fry, let's say it this way. David Fry will put up an 120 WRC plus. There. Mostly be utilized against left-handed pitching, but 120 WRC plus.
I mean, I think you have a lot of support with that. I didn't expect him being the DH tonight, and look at him DHing tonight.
So I'll point people to a couple things. David Fry, if you look at his minor league stats, is actually kind of a pulled fly ball guy. So that's one of the ways that hitters can get some extra oomph if they're not necessarily, you know, Mark McGwire or whatever. They can pull the ball in the air and hit it and get some extra home runs that way. And he has typically, but he also hits the ball very hard. And he has for a while now. And last year at Columbus, he was basically the team leader in hitting the ball hard. So
about him being a utility guy is going to get him more at bats. He can fill practically any role. He's the new Ernie Clement for the team.
he can play first base well. He can play catcher fine. He can sub in at third if need be. And
he was in the left field a couple times.
He can hack it in the outfield if absolutely necessary. Yeah. So, yeah, that's my guy that I have a hot take about. Now, he's 28 years old. I'm not saying he's going to be like somebody that's going to be cemented on the roster forever, but I think he'd get a couple good years out of David Fry.
Hey, he chuckled at my French fry friendship bracelet I gave him at Guards Fest. So that's a plus 10 modifier to some stat. It has to be.
He seems very affable from my experiences with him too. I agree. All right. What's your next one?
Next one, I don't think is that spicy of a take. Maybe the number is. It's another home run stat. I think the Naylor brothers combined for 65 home runs.
65.
I'm aiming. Wow. I'm shooting high. I'm shooting for the stars. Wow.
Yeah, when you started saying six, I was like 60, 65. You just took it over the top, and I like it. Yeah. You know, so I'll. Yeah, I had a Naylor.
Provided healthy Josh, you know, provided the September Bo that we saw on when Bo was hot, seeing that carry through is there's a lot of asterisks to this one, but I do think there's going to be a bit of a home run derby between the two. And I'm just hoping.
I definitely think you're right. We need healthy Josh. Josh needs, if for this to happen, we need to have at least 140 games of Josh, maybe 130, 140 games of Josh would be good.
And he's another one that, you know, he had a lot of physical changes as well that I don't think a lot of people are really talking about as much as Will and Miles Straw, how they put on muscle. But he really toned. That's not necessarily different matter, less mass, but he as a whole just toned and looks way more powerful in just how he's carrying himself right now and his approach in the spring training.
I agree. And I'll take this off of my hot take plate. One of my hot take ideas was that Bo Naylor starts the AL All-Star game.
Oh, that's a good one.
I think that there is a possibility of that. The only problem is that Adley Rutschman is in the American League. But catchers get hurt a lot, so he could be a little dinged up. And I love Adley Rutschman, so I'm not wishing that on him. But, you know, he could be dinged up at the All-Star game and bang. Or, you know, Bo could just have just an incredible offensive start and actually just win it straight up and Rutschman be the amazing defender that he is. I think people are also sleeping on how good Bo can be defensively too. You know, there are some things, but he's got a great arm and he's going to be working with Hedges. So I imagine that framing is going to get better too. So.
Yeah. And there's a lot to be said that, you know, Bo's going to be catching pitchers. He's caught his, like, they've come up together essentially. So it's pitchers he's comfortable with catching. And that, like, plays into the, like, the game calling and all of that. And, yeah, I wanted to get both Nailers in there. So I originally was going to say Bo wins the Silver Slugger. So that was like my original one. I was like, no, both Nailers need a little bit of love.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. I think we're both on the same train. I mean, and just to talk, we like to talk Nailers. So I'll just say that I have long been someone who said, guys, don't count out Josh Naylor because he does a lot of things really well. He sees the ball well. He swings at stuff he shouldn't, but he rarely ever doesn't make contact, which means he's tracking the ball, which means when he needs to, he can take a walk. And I think that's true. I think I can see that with him. When he's like, I can't do it, he'll take a walk. He could usually do that a little bit more and things might really take off. But he makes such hard contact and such consistent contact and lifts the ball well that he's just always going to be an offensive force, which is why I hope there is a quiet, secretive extension that has got done that will be announced before the home opener. Everybody's giving
a man, up. A man doesn't wear bedazzled shoes if he hasn't gotten an extension.
So true. Everybody's giving up hope on that, I've seen. But they've done it before. They've snuck one through and then announced it right before the home opener because then they can have the presser right there. So yeah. It could happen, but I wish it would because I'd love him to be around here for a long time. He's just something else. And Bo, just to talk about Bo, I know that both of us have seen this. Just watch Bo Naylor at the plate.
Oh,
he just knows how to hit. He knows how to hit.
It's so effortless. Whenever he launches a home run, it just looks like it was nothing. It looks like it took zero exertion. He just, boop, and it's a home run. He has such a pretty swing, especially when it just hits right. And I'm really hoping he gets to have a lot more of those moments. You know, he had that bit of a slump after he came up, which I don't think anyone was really surprised. He was still a rookie in my, you know. But yeah, I hope that he really locked in and became really, like, comfortable. You could tell there was a certain point where he got comfortable in the season, and I'm hoping that continues on because he's another one that also definitely hit the weight room this off season. he looked taller, and I know that's, like, not physically possible for, you know, someone his age, but I just want to, like, he just looked bigger at Guards Fest. He just had a much more of a presence about him, so I'm really hoping, like, him being comfortable mixed with having, like, a bit more power, about, like, natural power built in, is just home run city.
Anybody wondering what Nicole's talking about should go look at the Guardians social media posts from today, because they did one post was posting all their catchers, and that particular picture of Bo, he looks like a bodybuilder. Like, he's just big. And like, as a catcher, you can only be so big, but that's what you're saying about the muscles that are going to help him hit home runs.
And, you know, I really think Bo is like a mini Sandy. Like, just, there's a lot about him that reminds me of Sandy.
Sandy's a big man.
Yeah. So yeah. I hope we see kind of that style come out of him now that he's up here and around Sandy all day, every day.
The thing that impresses me the most, honestly, about him is how well he controls the strike zone. He really knows where everything is, and that's the kind of thing you see from. All right, well, we could talk about Nailers all day. I better get to my next one. I'll give him my negative one. When it comes to around the end of June, beginning of July, all the complaints from Guardians fans are going to be centered on starting pitching and not on the lineup and the bullpen. And I think that's a hot take for people because right now, especially I see on Twitter, everybody's like, this offense is going to be terrible. Oh, the bullpen's falling apart because everybody's hurt. I'm pretty confident in their ability to figure the bullpen out. There'll be some bumps in the road, sure, but they'll figure it out and they'll have it under control. Like even last year, there was a lot of times the bullpen was tough, but they found their way through it and still wasn't like a terrible bullpen. They find a way through that. And I think the lineup is going to be a good bit better this year, at least like average in baseball, somewhere around there, maybe on the lower end of average. But I'm concerned about just a couple things with the pitching. One, Tristan McKenzie's elbow. I pray every day that it lasts because I just love watching the man pitch. But it's concerning. Bieber has had numerous injuries over the years, so that's something to be concerned about. And the other thing, all three of our rookies pretty much hit like their innings max last year. That usually results in somebody getting a little hurt, and hopefully it's just something short and they come right back. But, you know, you don't have like the track record to be like, well, this guy's probably good for 180 innings a year. No problem. So it's probably wise to expect. And so when that happens, just don't feel amazing about the depth. It's awesome to have Carlos Carrasco on the team, but I don't know. Like, I hope it's a magical season where he just is the old Carlos Carrasco in the new way that he'll have to be effective. But the depth behind the top five starters isn't the greatest.
No, and you kind of see that with the pickups they had today. I know I didn't get a chance to look too much into them, but one was a starter, one's a relief, correct? The two pitchers we picked up?
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what they do. Nicole, just to catch people up, I haven't heard anybody say Strzelecki's last name. I don't exactly know how the Z fits into it, so I'm just going to say Strzelecki. But I'll have to check in how they say that. Definitely a reliever. The other guy, and he's got a great slider. Got to figure out how to not have people pound his fastball into the seats. So we see. But he's a pretty solid middle relief option. I was excited they got him. The other one is Zach Vent, who is probably a reliever, but I'm interested to see what they do with him because they may think they can get him to be a starter. That's possible. But my guess is that they're going to try to see if his stuff can play up out of the pen because he's got some really good off-speed stuff, but a fastball that people crush. So they both kind of have similar issues there. But I've heard that Zach Vent has been throwing upper 90s since they started using him more out of relief. So that could be good.
No, I think there's a lot of truth to what your concerns are. You know, with Gavin Williams starting the season injured, that's your proof right there that, you know, with these young kids and we don't have the starting depth at all, you know, none of them can stay healthy for some reason. I think there's a lot to say about some of the coaches we've lost over the last couple of years. Just they've moved on to bigger, better things, and you're starting to see the outcome of that. The pitching factory might not be as strong as it used to be.
Yeah, this will be a big year for them to pull it off, and they may be able to. You know, it may be, maybe this take looks bad because guys did get hurt, but maybe Joey Cantillo figures out how not to walk everybody. Ryan Webb takes what he did in the Arizona Fall League to the next level. Doug Nikhazy stops walking everybody. Trying to think, Ethan Hankins maybe takes huge step forward because he looked pretty good in some action against major league hitters that they had in the spring. So you can have guys take huge step forward, and that would be, oh, the pitching factor is working. And the other thing, I mean, I know this is supposed to be a negative take, but the other thing I'll say too is that, here's the thing I was going to say. With Tito, the great thing about Tito is that teams know no matter what happens, we're going to be okay because Tito's there. And that's what Vogt has to work his way into, and I think he will. But what helps Vogt is that he has Carl Willis.
I agree. Holy.
I don't know about you. Probably at Guards Fest, you've heard Carl Willis talk for a good bit, like I have. You probably watch interviews with him. But that man's Kermit the Frog voice is just so comforting. It's just so comforting. Like, I could totally imagine myself, you know, just having a bad day and Carl saying, it's all right, son. You just need to take the ball and get back out there. It's going to be fine.
Well, it was the Little League game that the Guardians were the Great Lakes rep where it was either Cal or Tristan. I think it was Cal said that every time Carl Wills comes out to the mound, he goes, go back and look at the, you know, the tapes. You'll see it like the next strike or the next, it's going to be a strikeout, the next batter they face. Like every time Carl Wills comes out to the mound, they had a strikeout. And he stayed sticking around and him still like, yeah, we want to still win. Like he wanted to stay around, I think is going to be a lot of the super glue and gorilla glue that helps this team stay together.
Yeah, that sounds like we're on the same page. All right, what's your next one?
So my next one's also about pitching and pitching depth and starting depth. So I've totally been all aboard on Hunter Gaddis being in the bullpen. You know, his biggest issue is once he gets the second time through the lineup, they figure him out, but he's stellar that first time through the lineup. Hunter Gaddis, AL Reliever of the Year.
Oh,
how's that nice, sound?
Nice. Well, folks may notice that Gaddis struck out 13 batters for 9 in spring training and was practically untouchable.
He looked really sharp and confident. And if you remove the whole seeing the lineup again, that's a good, you know, you can get good 2-3 innings out of him. And now you have a good middle reliever that can get you to Class A or get you to whoever they want as their closer to come in.
To be honest, I honestly hope right now that they just say, Hunter, go out there for one inning, let it fly, and like mow people down. Because I think he can do it. And this isn't because of spring training. I said the same thing last year. Like, this is what the man needs to do. Because it seems like the more that people see his fastball, his change in the game, the more they start to distinguish it. But for one inning, he can be pretty overwhelming. So hopefully, yeah, I like that. That's pretty good. All right, now me back on the positive train. Something here on my hot takes has to be about Jose Ramirez. So, look, we all want the Jose Ramirez MVP season. We all want the one more time peak Jose. So I'm going to say this is a pretty big hot take, okay? I'm going to say that as a treat for us Guardians fans who love Jose Ramirez with all of our hearts, one more time, because of a little juice ball and because of the rules, Jose gives us a 40-40 season. And he gives it to us as a 31-year-old. That's the last time that we'll see it. After that, he's going to be more like 2020, you know, probably like 25 homers and 30 stolen bases next year. And then the year after that, you know, 25 homers, 20 stolen bases, something like that. But this is the last gasp of 40-40 Jose.
I can see it. I think there's a want there. Jose always wants it, don't get me wrong. But, like, there's something about this year. I don't know if he wants to finally prove himself as a veteran. Like, that's the kind of vibe I get. Like, he wants to show them young whippersnappers how to.
I wasn't laughing at you, but I was just, what you said made me think about those quotes from him recently where, what do you tell your Uber driver? I'm a gangster. And then did you see the next one where the reporter's like, are you ready for opening day? He's like, when's opening day? And they're like, all right. He's like, whatever, bro. Whatever, whatever.
Oh, goodness. He is just a litany of good quotes.
He's just such a treasure. Such a treasure.
No, I see. I think he... There's just something about him this year that feels like he's like really stepping up. And that's to say with a lot of them, you know, if you read a lot of the articles, I think there's a couple interviews in the Akron Beacon Journal where quite a few players have said like, oh, I did not take this season serious enough. I thought it was going to be a breeze because how easy 22 was. And I think Jose was even kind of part of that. So I think there's just like this drive to just do better and be better than what they were. And I'm so excited.
Jose even played a little winter ball. That's how much he's.
Yeah.
And Jose talked about changing his swing a little bit, which is unusual. I mean, you're a perennial all-star. It's like, why? But guys are always tinkering.
Hey, Bieber added another pitch. Why can't Jose change his swing? Right.
And I will say, like, if I'm wrong on this and Jose, you know, again, he puts up some season that's more like what he did last year, which I think was 123 WRC plus. And he's more like 120, 130 WRC plus, 20 homers, 30 steals, something like that. you won't hear me complain. And I hope nobody will complain, because what Jose did by taking $100 million less to stay here means we all get to enjoy seeing him get old and seeing him still be a Hall of Famer and how he gets old. He's not going to be, eventually, I think we may get a couple more peak years, but he's not going to be 2018 Jose every year, but he's going to be a dang good player. And you're still going to see teams afraid of him. And there's going to be those moments where you're like, oh yeah, Jose, that was totally a single, but he made it a double because he's Jose. Oh,
it's cool. We get to have our own pool holes and our own Miggy. Like, we get to have that.
Only I think we'll age a lot better than those guys too. But what I'm looking forward to, you know, one of my favorite things about Jose is that teams love to try to crack him inside, because it's really the only way you can get him out, because he thinks he can hit all those pitches. And he'll swing at the pitches that are like down at his ankles, because sometimes he can hit him out. But I just love it sometimes when I see guys go in there over and over and he fouls off pitch after pitch. And I will turn to somebody like you and your husband sitting in the stands. I would turn to somebody and say, watch this. And he'll do it.
He'll be fastball down the center.
Because, you know, eventually if they go inside long enough, somebody's going to leak back over the plate. And that's when he's like, bam.
There's in 22, there was a clip, an audio clip. It was either the TV crew or it was Rosie. And Jose hit a home run. They gave him a fastball down center. And all you hear is the color commentators go, when will they learn? Just, that is Jose to a T. Just, when will you learn?
Yeah, Rick Manning's famous, uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, baby.
Oh, boy.
All right. Okay. So my last hot take, this one's a little negative, but gotta let me explain. This is very spicy. Daniel Schneeman makes it to the majors before Kyle or Chase.
Oh, interesting. I think this one is gonna happen. I think I'm with you. Go ahead.
Not because I necessarily think he's better than either of them. I don't think that's quite the case, but I think it's a bit of shopping him out. Get him up to the majors, show them what he's capable of, especially after his amazing spring training. They threw him out in outfield and he did well enough. Like, it was serviceable. So I think it's more of a look at this trade piece. You have someone who's a little older. He's had more time in the minors. You know, he's one I've kept tabs on because he was one of the Rubber Duck Boys when I first got into the minors. When I first started paying attention to the minors, I think they give him a shot first, just because you can say what you want about service manipulation and service time manipulation, but I think it would be more to shop him out and just, this is what he's capable of. Here's a trade piece. We need a pitcher. Take him.
Yeah. People are always looking for utility players. I think I agree with you because of all that I saw about how much Vogt loved Schneeman. So I just feel like if somebody gets hurt, Steven Vogt's going to be like, well, let's give Schneeman a little look-see before we get to this or that guy. And so, yeah, I could definitely see that happening. Yeah. All right. Well, I think I'm going to do something that's kind of in the neighborhood of this. By the end of the season, Andrés Giménez will be your starting shortstop and Juan Brito will be your starting second baseman. I'm not the only person who has this take, so but
the writings are on the wall with it, you know.
I do think that's where things are gonna be. I wouldn't be shocked if Rocchio or Arias, even be more shocked with Arias, but I wouldn't be shocked if either one of them turned out to be an effective good shortstop and lock it down, and then maybe they look at moving Juan Brito to the outfield, or maybe he becomes a big piece in a trade. But I really believe in Juan Brito. I think he's a very good hitter, and I think that we're going to see him in the majors this year. And I don't think that the Guardians will be afraid to ask Giménez to move over, because I think he could do it just about as smoothly as anybody in the history of baseball could.
Baseball.
Yeah.
He played shortstop amazingly. And, you know, I always say that the reason he's so good at second is because he's such a stellar shortstop. Like, I want him to be the first person to, like, in our team history who wins two gold gloves in one position, then two gold gloves in another.
Yeah. Platinum gloves at both positions. That'd be awesome.
But yeah, no, I totally agree with that take. I think, you know, depending how they play, both Arias and Rocchio, one's getting DFA'd, one's getting traded, would be the way I see it. And you have to get rid of these middle infielders.
Yeah.
And if we end up needing a pitcher, what's better than a super young, you know, shortstop that's in Rocchio that's, you know, ready to go? He's only just started his service time last year was his first time up.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, he's still a rookie. Yeah. And that could go either way, you know, if Rocchio's playing well and Brito's playing well, Brito could be the one headed out and he could get a good piece back. I'll also say, like, I've been an Arias doubter because of a variety of different things, but there are some things to definitely like about him. And one thing obviously is his arm is sensational and he can be incredible with the glove, a little inconsistent with the glove sometimes, but his range is also insane. So range and arm make for an amazing shortstop. And I do think, like, if he just figured that out at the plate, that would be exciting, because one thing I'd said, which is like a huge hot take for a lot of people, is that if Arias can really make it, then I think Arias and Jimenez would be a better middle infield than Bisquel and Alomar. And they would be that for a little while. People were so upset, but I really think so. I mean, those guys were incredible defensively, especially honestly Alomar, but Jimenez, I think, is going to be, when it's all said and done, better defensively than Robbie Alomar was at second base. Arias, I think, could maybe be Vizquel's equal. He has a better arm. So.
Oh, they, you know, batteries usually used to describe a pitcher catcher combo, but you know, Arias and Jimenez are a bit of a battery of their own. There's just been a couple of defensive plays where Jimenez just doesn't think, he just knows Arias is there, and they have like a really good synergy defensively. Yeah. So yeah. And you know, Arias said towards the end of the season, getting more consistent at bats really helped him lock it, and that helped him get better. So we'll see what happens when he's not getting consistent at bats again, and what he's able to push through.
Yeah, I hope that, I honestly hope that if they, you know, they do need to pick kind of a starter, but I hope they could maybe manage something like 60-40 time, you know, 60% Rocchio starts, 40% Arias starts. And like tonight, as we're talking, they're about to start game one, Rocchio's starting against a left-hander, and that's great. Don't play Arias all the time against left-handed pitching until he kind of shows he's figured some of that out. And that way, when he plays against right-handers, hopefully he can start to feel pretty good about himself, and maybe you get the beginning of something big there. So, All right. Well, I wonder what people thought about our hot takes. I don't think we
burned we'll anything. Hear about it.
I don't think we burned anything to the ground, but we did set some pretty aggressive goals, and I think if any of the positive takes come about, the people will be pretty happy with the season ahead. Well, we're almost here. By the time people hear this episode, opening day will have happened, and Nicole and I are about to shut off the Zoom and go and watch at least a little bit before I pass out of the Guardians opening up against the Athletics. So thanks for the time, Nicole.
Thank you for having me.